Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. Our phone number, 312-981-7200. We have two lines open if you would like to talk to our next guest. That is also our text line, and we are live on my personal Facebook page at Pete McMurray. Joining us from Northwestern Hospital is Dr. Ben Singer. Doc, thank you for joining us. This is our biggest segment week after week. People have so many questions about the coronavirus. How are you?
I'm well. I'm glad to hear that. It's great to get good information out to the public.
I wanted to ask you about the rapid tests from Abbott that have started to be distributed. I mean, how are these going to help us with the spread of the virus?
It's always good to have a test to be able to determine who has the virus and who doesn't. And this can help in a number of different ways. It can certainly help in understanding who's infectious and who's not, and who, when they're coming into the hospital, for example, needs to be put into isolation or not, or when they go back into the community, who needs to have extra type of isolation or quarantine procedures and who doesn't. And in many cases, the quicker you can know that information, the better.
Doc, my wife and I have been arguing about the 80% 20% ratio. 80% of us, if we get the virus, we're going to survive. 20%, of course, in that high risk category. But she says, and she claims, and she's been watching a lot of television, that there's a lot of healthy people that are dying from COVID-19. Is that true, or did they have a pre-existing condition, or there's always exceptions to the rule?
I think you're both right. It's still true that most COVID-19 cases are mild or even asymptomatic. But because we have so many cases now, a proportion of every age group and every health class is going to be severe. And that's something we really have to keep an eye out for, and the reason why efforts to contain the spread of the virus or slow the spread of the virus are so important.
Doc, you're on the front lines over at Northwestern. How are you taking care of yourself? How are you staying safe? What are you doing?
We're in really good shape. I think there's a lot of support in terms of not just what we need on the front lines, in terms of personal protective equipment and making sure that we have what we need. But also there's been a lot of efforts to focus on wellness of the physicians and staff to make sure that everybody is trying to take care of themselves and their families as we go about taking care of our patients.
All right, let's take some phone calls. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Linda, what is your question for Dr. Ben Singer from Northwestern Hospital?
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. Doctor, this morning, early in the morning, I did something kind of stupid. It was an accident. I dropped a bottle of my pills. I just got it refilled, metformin, and every pill was on the floor. And the one thing I'm not sanitizing is the bottom of my shoes. This is what I'm trying to get at. I don't know if I should be concerned about those pills and how to handle it.
What should she do? Can she still take the pills? How do you do that, Doc? What do you do?
I think with respect to the coronavirus, there's really not a risk that your pills falling on the floor picked up some virus that would be transmitted. I think this would follow what you would do with any other food. If you can clean them as best you can, I think they're still safe. If you're really worried, you can certainly call your pharmacy and try to get a refill.
Got it. All right, let's go to Tom. Tom, hold on a second. Sorry about that. Tom, what is your question for Dr. Ben Singer from Northwestern? Oh, we lost Tom. Let's go to Joyce. Joyce in Kankakee, what is your question for Dr. Ben?
Hello. Yes, I'd like to know, if a person is asymptomatic, they're not coughing, they're not sneezing, how are they shedding the virus? How are they spreading it?
Great question.
That's a great question. We're learning more and more about the range of symptoms that people may have. And as you correctly point out, there are a number of cases in which people have minimal or even no symptoms. These tend to be younger people. And you can still spread the virus because just by normal breathing or by talking or just normal things that we do every day, you're producing these small little droplets from your breath that can spread the virus.
What do you think about us wearing masks out in public? I'm sure you're all for it. Every time someone goes out, especially to the grocery store where it's always packed, we should have masks on.
That's right. So the Centers for Disease Control on Friday made a recommendation that when we go out in public, we wear some sort of face covering. Now, the reason to do that is not necessarily to protect yourself from others, but to protect others from you. If you happen to be one of those asymptomatic carriers of the virus that you could still spread it, covering your face is a way to prevent those droplets from getting out into the air and possibly infecting someone else. But I really have to emphasize that this is an additional step. By far, the most effective things we can do are stay home, wash our hands, the things that we've been talking about for the last few weeks.
Right. And if you must go out, why not put a scarf or a mask on if you're going to the grocery store? It's not that big of a deal.
No, it's not. And I think it's just common sense.
All right. Let's go to Tom. Tom, what is your question for Dr. Ben from Northwestern?
Yes, the question I have is, how do I know whether I've had the coronavirus or not? Because we'll call it 3-4 weeks ago, had all the symptoms, it wasn't the flu, had a flu shot, all that type of stuff. Is there a way that that can be tested now, or just assume that I didn't have it? And I'm curious on that.
That's a great,
in the works.
That is a great question, because a lot of people assume that they may have had it months ago. Doc?
Yeah, that is a really, really important question, particularly among those folks who have had minimal or no symptoms. You kind of want to know, did you actually have the virus? And this, of course, is a major point for people coming back to work and understanding what percent of our population may be immune. Right now, there's not widespread availability of a test that can do that, but that's coming. We are developing what are called serologic tests. These are tests to measure antibodies in the blood that reflect having been infected with this virus before. And we should be hearing more about those very soon.
What can we do to keep our immune system up? Of course, we need a lot of sleep. We talked about supplements. You said, maybe, maybe not. I'm a supplement guy. I take my multivitamin every day. I'm huge in the vitamin D and fiber and things like that. But what else can we do to keep our immune system up?
There really aren't medicines that can boost your immune system. It's the things that you just talked about, getting regular sleep, exercise. Those are really the core things to help keep your immune system at its top shape.
I have some text message questions right here. 815 area code. What precautions should I take if I work at a grocery store as a cashier? Boy, that's a tough one. They finally put up that plexiglass at a lot of grocery stores here in Chicago. But Doc, what do you think?
Yeah, it is a tough one. And I mean, really, the people out there running the essential services, the grocery stores, those are really, really important parts of our community. The plexiglass is great. A number of communities have limited the number of people that come into the store so that you can maintain a safe distance. I think as much as you can, have a bottle of hand sanitizer there, wash your hands. Those are the really important ways to try to prevent transmission of the virus.
I can't find hand sanitizer or those antibacterial wipes anywhere.
Yeah, they're tough to find. You can find out how to make your own. There are a number of good websites. The CDC can actually link you to some that are reputable. The trick is that it has to be at least 60% alcohol.
60% alcohol. Dr. Ben Singer from Northwestern Hospital on the line. Doc, I'm going to have you hold on. Every line is full. The text messages, we're live on Facebook, too. If you have a question on Facebook, please type out the question as they're going, because the screen keeps moving very, very quickly. Doc, hold on a second, okay?
Sure.
Dr. Ben Singer, 312-981-7200. The lines are full, but you can also text in your messages. And if you're watching on Facebook, you see this huge screen right in front of me. It's a TV screen. That's where the text messages come through, so I can see all of them. On the phone with us, Dr. Ben Singer from Northwestern Hospital. And Dr. Ben, I want to say again, thank you so much for taking time out on this Sunday and the past three Sundays to do this. We sincerely appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
815 area code. We're getting text messages right now. What about greeters at grocery stores? They're wiping down handles of carts. What about them? Well, oh my gosh, they really have to be careful, don't they, doctor?
Yeah, they certainly do. I think even if you're greeting somebody, staying 6 feet away, saying a friendly hello, that's nice. Part of it too, though, is, you know, you kind of have to wonder what the essential jobs really are. I mean, if it's essential to the business, then it's essential to the business and getting people the groceries and the supplies they need. But again, staying home, that's really the best way to slow the spread.
I take a multivitamin, zinc, and vitamin D daily. Does that help my immune system?
If you're vitamin D deficient, if you're deficient in a mineral and you know that from your doctor, then absolutely. But getting extra amounts of vitamins, supplements, minerals has never really shown to be a boost to your immune system.
All right, let's go to Emily in Glen Ellen. You're on with Dr. Ben Singer from Northwestern. Emily, what's your question?
Hi, I'm just wondering if you're out walking in your neighborhood or on a path and still practicing social distancing, should you wear a scarf now or a mask covering up your face and nose?
Yes.
Yeah, the recommendation is to do it. I think it's less important, I guess, in that setting because you are going to be far away from people, but you never know. You never know when somebody's going to come up next to you or when your path is going to take you close to somebody. It would be more for those unexpected or inadvertent exposures that I think it's a good idea to cover up.
Billy Weber just asked that, should I now wear a mask every time I go out? Absolutely. That is a yes. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think it's common sense. There's little harm to do it. And again, these masks that have been recommended, these are the cloth masks. These are the things that you can easily make at home. These are not the surgical masks or certainly the N95 masks. Those are what hospitals need to keep the healthcare workers safe.
Right. This is from Fina on Facebook. If you are suspecting that you have pneumonia, should you wait to see a doctor? No.
No, the pneumonia is very serious, particularly right now with a lot of pneumonia caused by COVID-19. So that's something that you're going to want to contact your doctor about right away.
630 area code. This is a text message. What do you do to recommend allergy sufferers who are often blowing their nose and sneezing, washing hands constantly? I mean, that's all you can do, right, Doc?
Yeah, cover your sneeze into your elbow, cough into your elbow. Use a tissue once, throw it away, wash your hands.
847 area code, can I bring my car in for repair? Well, the doctor's not going to do it, but Doc, can that person bring their car in? I guess if it needs to be done, you got to sterilize everything.
Yeah, that's right. If your car needs essential maintenance, then it needs essential maintenance. And I think doing the best you can for social distancing, and then when you get it back, wipe everything down. That makes sense.
All right, let's go to Joe in Antioch. Joe, you're on with Dr. Ben Singer from Northwestern. What's your question?
Dr. Ben, on I think it was Sunday, the 26th of January, I 8:30 at night, I remember it like it was yesterday, I started coughing. It felt like somebody was ripping glass through my lungs. I ended up down in bed for a week with this cough and fever, in and out of fever and everything else. Went to the doctor. I was negative for the flu, but it lasted little over a week before I was up again and, you know, able to go back to work and everything. Could I have had it? And if I did, am I now immune to it?
Great question, Doc.
Yeah, you absolutely could have had it. This is where some of these tests that I was talking about a little bit ago, these so-called serologic tests that can measure an antibody in your blood, once those become available, that will be the way to really find out if you've had the virus or not. In terms of whether you're immune or not, we are developing a lot of evidence in the scientific community that suggests that the antibodies that people develop after the virus will protect them in the future, but we don't know that for a certainty yet. There's a lot to learn, both about whether those antibodies that circulate in the blood after an infection has cleared will protect you and for how long.
This is from Sandy on Facebook. Is it best to allow a fever to run high for a few days before trying to lower with Tylenol?
That is one of the oldest questions in medicine, and it's still hotly debated, believe it or not. I think that if you are trying to manage your symptoms at home, taking Tylenol, taking Advil to keep your fever at a lower level, I think still makes a lot of sense, because fevers are really uncomfortable, and it's not clear that lowering your fever is harmful.
Okay. Dr. Ben Singer on the line. Doc, I'm going to keep you for a few minutes longer before the governor walks out for his press conference. 312-981-7200. We have one line open here at the station. Also taking your text messages and Facebook Live at Pete McMurray. Quick break. We'll be back with the doc next on 720 WGN. Dr. Ben, let's take some more phone calls. Let's go to Mary on the north side. Mary, what's your question?
There's a asymptomatic, and I think I know what that is, but is there a B symptomatic and a C symptomatic?
No, so asymptomatic just means no symptoms. You feel perfectly healthy, and there's really no other letters in front of it. A just means not.
Okay, let's go to Brad and Dixon. Brad, what's your question for Dr. Ben?
Yeah, everyone's talking about the virus, but how about a explanation of if and when we will see a vaccine?
Yeah, that's a hugely important question. So a lot of vaccine development has already begun, but it takes a long time to get the vaccine just right, test it to make sure that it is safe and effective before it's widespread. We're still probably somewhere around 8 months to a year away from that.
Johnson & Johnson said last week that it has identified a lead vaccine candidate for the coronavirus. J&J said human testing will begin in the fall with a vaccine available for emergency use in the first quarter. So that's just Johnson & Johnson. I'm sure there's many other companies that are doing that. So you're right. We're a year away.
Yeah, that's right. And so it takes a long time to generate a vaccine, and it's amazing that it can even happen within a year if you really think about everything that has to go into making sure that it works and it's safe.
What happens in the fall? Does this all come back and we're going to get self-quarantined again? What happens here?
We don't know. We certainly hope that if we can get through this first surge and we can get our really a good handle on this virus, that we can get it suppressed and that it won't come roaring back in the fall. But we have seen with other pandemics that peak this time of year that they can come back after the summer goes away. So it remains to be seen.
All right. We're monitoring the governor right now. When he walks up to the podium, we'll carry that live. Dr. Ben Singer from Northwestern on the line. Let's go to Wynn. Wynn, what is your question for the doctor?
Thank you for taking my call. Doctor, would you be able to kind of explain to me and the audience what would be like a timeline? Let's say on day zero, I contract the virus. When does one start becoming contagious? Is it right away? And how long does it last? And of course, if somebody's asymptomatic, that's another thing. But can you just give me a timeline? And the fact that I cannot be tested anymore to know what's my status, it's really a theoretical kind of thing, but please illuminate me.
Yeah, absolutely. So the best data we have suggests that after you are exposed to the virus, most people who begin to manifest symptoms will do so within 4 or 5 days. But there's a lot of variability. Some it's as few as a couple days, and some it's a week or even 2 weeks on the extreme. And then the illness, when it's mild, usually lasts a few days to a week, but can last a couple weeks.